Revelation chapter 20. We are done with our book of Daniel study. Next Wednesday, we're going to start our book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, lots and lots of prophecy. But I want to talk to you something tonight that some people are a little confused on. As usual, your Bible is not. Here it is. Is the millennial reign of Jesus literally 1,000 years? Or is that a figurative term? Well, let's check it out. We're in Revelation chapter 20, and let's read what the text says. We're going to go down to about verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. This is the end of the great tribulation. The 70th week of Daniel is complete. Jesus has touched down on planet Earth. That was chapter 19. Now let's see what happens when he does. So this angel came coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that is the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. We're pretty clear who that is. And bound him for, say it with me, 1,000 years. Verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more until the, say it with me, 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. At the end of this 1,000 years, he's going to get let out. More on that in a moment. Verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those that had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. Those are your tribulation saints. And they lived and reigned with Christ for a, say it again please, 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the, here it is four times. You think God's trying to tell us something? 1,000 years were finished, and this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. We've looked at that before. Jesus was the first, church was the second, Old Testament and tribulation saints are the third. Those are all part of the first portion of the first resurrection. But has power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Verse 7. And when the, are you keeping count of this one? 1,000 years were expired. Does God know what's going to come up in the future? Sure does. Does God know that in the last days there are going to be people that are so brilliant and smart that they believe this is not a literal 1,000 years, but a figurative one? Because after all, literally interpreting the Bible for what it says is for kindergartners. This is the fifth time. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, the abuso, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. These are the people that have now repopulated the earth for the last 1,000 years. Gog and Magog, those are the demon princes that caused a bunch of trouble in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Well, they're going to get active again, and they're going to gather them together to battle, whose number was as the sand of the sea. These are humans who are 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 12th, 20th, 100th generation born into the millennial reign. And God's beautiful administration is so perfect, it would seem that there are people that were just sort of doing the rules, posing to be righteous, but inward they harbor a rebellious heart and spirit. They're going through the motions because, after all, planet Earth is perfect again. And you and I in our new bodies are around planet Earth helping teach and administrate. We also see human Israel is going throughout all of the land. And the Bible says that the knowledge of God covers the earth like a sea. And it seems that there are a bunch of people that are nodding their head, But their hearts are hiding self-centeredness, and they're just itching for a chance that when Jesus isn't looking or their opportunity presents itself, they are going to move against the Lord Jesus. But not many, right? Because after all, Jesus is living on the planet. Everything is perfect. Look how big they are, this number. Whose number was as the sand of the sea. Verse 9. Well, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. That's where Jesus has been living for the last 1,000 years. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, and the beast and the false, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever. Verse 11. And when all that is done, and all those people, humans who had come against the Lord Jesus, when that happens and their physical bodies are suddenly burned up, they are disembodied spirits for a moment, because they too are going to get their new resurrected body. When death and hell, the short-term hell, Sheol, Hades, was emptied, and all of those people got their new bodies. And now verse 11, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, after Lucifer's rebellion is put down, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then I saw death. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. All right. So do we see that the Bible says that there is going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign? Jesus in his new body there in Revelation 19, touchdown. We in our new bodies at the rapture. We've been hanging with Jesus for the 7 years of the great tribulation, that beautiful marriage feast of the Lamb. Remember when Jesus, on the night he was going to be betrayed, he took the 3 cups of the Seder dinner. There was one more cup. And he took that third cup, not the fourth. He took the third cup and he said, I will not drink this again, cup number 4, until I am with you disciples, raptured in your new body in my Father's house. We come down to Revelation 19 with the Lord. Immediately, Old Testament saints get their new bodies, and they are among us. And the tribulation saints, they get their new bodies. So we have new-bodied people, you and us, around the world, and we are extensions of Jesus's millennial reign administration. When the Bible says we will rule and reign with Christ, that's what he means. All right. Did you know that there are many people that think that they are so brilliant that they say this is not a literal 1,000 years? Mike, is this a literal 1,000 years? Yes, it is. Are you sure? Let me show you. Let's go ahead, Chris. Boy, do we have some slides for you tonight. Let's go ahead with our first one. I want to show you how this works out and as it lays up. Maybe this will make logical sense. If anyone is curious, yes, it is a literal 1,000 years, and here's why. Here's eternity past, as you've seen 100 times. That's in front of Genesis 1, verse 1, and then the New Jerusalem is Revelation 21 and 22. Go. Our first person was Adam and Eve, and about 2,000 years later, Abraham. How do you know it's that length of time? Well, you go to Genesis 5 and Genesis 11, and you just do the math. And then Jesus is born about 2,000 years ago to us. Go. And that begins the church age. Well, when is the church age done? At the rapture. Then what happens? Go. Then there's the 7-year great tribulation. Why is it 7 years? Because it is the 70th week of year, 7-year period, of the book of Daniel chapter 9. And then when Revelation, book of Revelation, chapters 6 through 18 are done, go. Chapter 19, Jesus returns, and we just read that. Well, then what does he do? He begins his, go, 1,000-year reign. Are you sure it's a literal 1,000 years? Yes, it is. At the end of that 1,000-year reign, what happens? Lucifer is let out of the abuso. He sings his song of deception, and jillions and jillions of humans who are just going through the motion of loving God, trusting the Lord, they were just waiting for an opportunity to let their inner self go. And that happens, it presents itself when Lucifer is let out at the end of that 1,000 years. And that's when they gather around Jerusalem and they're about ready to go get him, you know. Did anybody learn anything in the Valley of Armageddon when Psalm 2, which is a videotape, when Jesus shows up in Revelation 19, the kings, why do the heathen rage and why do those kings plot a vain thing and God laughs? Did any of the humans learn anything 1,000 years ago? No. Lucifer gathers that army of humans around Jerusalem, and right before they say, get them, boys, that's when the Lord blows his whistle. That's it. Everybody out of the pool. Death and hell give up their dead. They get their new bodies. And then all those that died around that siege of Jerusalem, they get their new bodies as well. And then, go ahead, Judgment Day. We saw that in chapter 20. The books are opened. And then what happens after that is all of the rebellious from Cain to the last human and all of the fallen angels have to be separated. And that's sort of when people will look through the book of Revelation and they'll go, man, these judgments are so rough, you know. Lord, are you sure you got to be that way? And if God is such a God of love, why does he even think and invent a place called hell? Remember, hell or outer darkness, the permanent hell, the lake of fire, was not intended for humans. It was for fallen angels. It is a place that they are set aside. Why are they set aside? Because we're going to find out that God has given the angels and the humans every opportunity to see if maybe they could run their own planet. How did they do? Not very well. In fact, let me show you this. Go ahead, Chris. By the way, why is it 1,000 years? Because it is the seventh millennia. Remember, you work six. What do? The seventh, you rest. Do you see God's pattern? God's number of completion. We've had 6,000 years of history documented in the scriptures. And the last, the seventh, that's why, again, it is a literal 1,000 years, and that's why. All right, something else I want to show you. Now go ahead, if you would, Chris. This is something I want to show you called the seven dispensations. Now, not everybody agrees with this, but Pastor Chuck used to teach it. It makes a whole lot of sense to me. You remember how seven is God's number of completion. How did God begin his creation, humans and planet Earth and the stars and the firmament? Perfect. Go ahead. So the first dispensation was this. Go. It's often referred to as innocence. I'm going to show you seven. Seven dispensations or economies that God has allowed the humans. Let's see if you can find true love, joy, peace, patience, kindness in this economy. Now in the next economy. And I'm going to show you seven. I'm going to show that there is a condition. There is a response from the humans. And there is a result that happens. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The first one, innocence. Go ahead, let's zoom in on it. What was that? That is that man is created innocent. Adam and Eve could not conceptualize or think about sin. How often awesome that would be. Oh, and they walked with God in the cool of the day. All of creation was perfect. Surely that is an easy, easy sort of economy. And there was one stipulation. Do you remember what it was? Don't eat of the tree. It's set in a perfect environment, deep and full relationship with God and each other, and only one condition. Don't eat of the tree, humans. How did they do? The response is they ate the fruit. The result, now they knew for the first time what was good and what was evil, and they had to make a decision and choose. And that's where the devil says, now I got him. All they got to do is whip up their own fallen nature appetites, and they'll make their own bonehead decisions and open the door wide for more and more of the devil's lies. Well, what happened after that? Well, you can't live and keep eating of the tree of life in that fallen state, because you'll live forever broken. So we got to expulse them out. All relationships are damaged and diminished. You remember Adam and Eve? They just had eyes for one another. And the moment sin entered, look how naked I am, and it's your fault. And the first argument and drama began in God's creation. Well, relationships are damaged or diminished. Death arrives. The very first thing that died was an animal that God killed, drained its blood, and made a covering. How do you say a covering in Hebrew? Atonement. And made a covering for Adam. Remember, Adam named all the animals, and they used to think, well, genus, species, phylum, order, all that kind of stuff. Well, maybe, but what if he actually named them Fluffy and Trixie and Bow Wow and whatever it might be? If so, now think of it, his mind was greatly expanded. God had just made him. No DNA breakdown, no arthritis, no diminish of mental capacity. It's possible that he named all the creatures that were nearby. If so, the animal that died, was it that animal's fault? No. Did Adam look into the eyes as the life ebbed away, as the blood flowed? Did the animal look at Adam as if, wow? And did Adam feel some kind of way about that? Not only did that animal die, now all of creation is now suffering death. Paul said it. He said, one man, through one man, sin came into the world, and death through sin. So entropy started. The winding down process started. I believe that all the things begin to devolve into worse and worse speciation. Mosquitoes and okra appeared on the earth and all of that. And eventually, of course, all the wrong, sinful, sexual sins of humans, then the DNA began to get more and more corrupted. And that's where all sicknesses all came from. And creation begins to deteriorate. Well, that's what happened. So let's try it another way, shall we? Go. Let's try the next dispensation, and that's going to be conscience. Many of these dispensations have a covenant that God steps up to one of the humans, and he says, here, you're under a new system now. And conscience began a covenant between God and Adam and Eve. Some people call it the Adamic covenant. Well, what is that? Now that you have experiential knowledge of good and evil, now, Adam and Eve, you are accountable. Death ruins the creation relationship with God only through animal sacrifices. And now Adam becomes an altar builder. What's the condition? Do what is right and flee from what is wrong. How did the humans do? You finally get to Genesis 6 where, quote, every intent and the thought of his heart, man, was only evil continually. We have on another account that also giants were in the land, and much of God's creation had been corrupted by literal demonic activity, messing with the actual DNA of the human species. Because the devil heard that day in Genesis 3 when God said to Eve, your seed is going to crush his head. Well, Lucifer was listening. And I believe that he tried to corrupt the bloodline, literally, of the Messiah. And that is probably the main reason why God had to flood the earth. He had to scrub the earth of any genetic possibility that the Messiah one day would not be 100% genetically correct. Fully human. The flood. Well, then how did that work? Nope, because we got to flood the joint. Go ahead, let's go to our next one. The next one is they come off the ark. Go ahead. And now we're going to go to human government. This is called the Noah covenant or the Noahic covenant, Genesis 9. Here is another contract. That's why I believe there's a kind of a start and a stop to these eras and economies. Well, what was happening? Man now is responsible to govern the creation. And capital punishment was a big part of that. If someone kills somebody, then you have to require their life to stop that murderous process. Capital punishment to dissuade rampant murder, the condition. Righteous leaders leading everyone to God. What was the response? Nimrod, Tower of Babel. The result? God says, here's what the humans do, and they put their minds together. Oy, you know. So he confounds the languages, and now we have the beginning of evil monarchies and governments. That's awful. So that's not working. So let's go to the next one. Go. This is often called the Abrahamic covenant. It's called, go, the economy of promise. The Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12. Well, what's that about? God says to Abraham, all nations will be blessed by you. Speaking of Messiah, God's will and character is demonstrated by and through Israel. Hey, planet Earth, you want to see what kind of God, the God who made everything is? Watch these people, Israel. They're people after my own heart. They're God's people, God's chosen, not because they're better, but because they're unique in that God says, watch them. When they do what my word says, they prosper supernaturally. But when they don't, I will judge them strictly. God's will and character is going to be demonstrated by and through Israel. And God's promised land, that's why it's so important, Israel, the land, is inexorably connected to this promise. That's why any political sort of arrangements trying to divide God's land away from the Jews is an enemy's attempt to try to make God's words and promise null and void. Two-state solution. Don't know where that's going to end up politically, but here's what God says. That's my land, and I gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because I'm doing things prophetically here. When the enemy tries to dilute that real estate, God says, woe to those nations who try to move it or heave it or divide it out. The land is forfeited by the disobedience to this law. And of course, they get kicked out by the Romans, 70 AD. They regain the land in 1948 under this promise. The Mosaic covenant was, if you obey, then I'll, and you get to stay in the land. Well, they didn't do that, and they forfeited that covenant. They come back in 1948 under the Abraham covenant. What did Abraham have to do? Nothing. He fell asleep. And so God is a one-party agreement. So no matter how good or bad Israel is, they are in the land since 1948 under this Abraham covenant. And I find it fascinating that you hear the term Abrahamic Accords all through our current geopolitics. Fascinating. Well, what was the condition? Believe and receive that the seed, Messiah, is going to save all humans. Genesis 22. What was the response? Israel rejects the Messiah on Palm Sunday. And ultimately, they will stay disregarding Jesus as that promised seed until the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. And the result? Zechariah chapter 12, 10, that day when it happens. Currently, the church is leading nations to Messiah until the church is taken out. Midpoint in the Great Tribulation, the blindness in part comes off of Israel. Ding! Zechariah 12, verse 10, they will look upon me, Jehovah God, whom they pierced. And they're all, oh, we are so sorry. You, Jesus, are our Messiah. Israel repents in the middle of the Great Tribulation, and they are restored in the thousand-year millennial reign. All right, so that promise of Abraham promise is actually still going on. Let's delve a little deeper. Go. The law, there we are. This is the Mosaic covenant. All right, you Jews. And this was the covenant from Mount Sinai. God strictly prescribes exactly how to worship him. Condition? Keep this law. Animal sacrifices, because God is trying to get it to their understanding. Have you noticed? Innocent blood atones for sin, setting up Jesus' arrival and death on the cross. What's their response? Well, by the time Jesus shows up, and to a large degree, even now, it is for many Jews a kind of a mindless religion, a legalism, and there is rampant idolatry. Result, they are dispossessed of the promised land, and they had to head out to the diaspora. Now, number six, let's go back. Now we're under another covenant, and this is the one we're in now. Go, yay, grace. Jesus died for how much of our sin? All of our sin. No longer legalistic obedience to the law. The Holy Spirit's universal conviction of sin and righteousness, judgment to come. God fills people with his Holy Spirit. He leads and empowers every true believer. What's the condition? It's as easy as Eden. Believe. Receive Jesus' finished work on the cross. The response? Grace. But even today, most people on planet Earth reject it. The result? Heaven for believers, non-believers, they have eternal separation from God. All right, so here is six. Go. There's one more coming. Go back to our line. And it's the next one. Go. Number seven. That's the kingdom, or if you will, the millennial reign. How many years was it again? 1,000. Why? Because it's the seventh millennia. That's why. Here's what that's about. The kingdom. When Jesus shows up in Revelation 19, it's also called the David covenant or Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7. Jesus is on the earth, woohoo, Revelation 19. And then God reconstructs, fixes planet Earth back to its Eden-like condition. Earth is restored. New bodied believers assist Jesus' administration, and Israel's full-on, I should say, human Israel's full-on conversion, and Israel is restored as a high priestly people for all human nations. Condition during this thousand-year reign is very simple. Do what King Jesus, living on planet Earth, says. The response is, most will follow until that last part, when Lucifer is let out, larger number than the sands of the sea are going to follow Satan, Revelation 20, verse 7. The result is the great white throne judgment and lake of fire. Now go back to our timeline. I want you to notice something. How many dispensations or covenants is that? That's seven. Starts out one way, hit our go button. Notice that innocence and the millennial reign kingdom are very similar. Almost perfect is all of the creation. I'm going to read you some specifics here in a minute. And it's like we've gone around the circle and full circle again. Surely the humans will get it right in one of these. What's the response even after 1,000 years of restored Eden-like condition? You saw it. Revelation chapter 20. There are so many humans that grumble and grouse under the magnificent, beautiful, and perfect judgment of Jesus. And when they get their shot, they rebel. Here, next to chapter 20, would you write a couple more verses? Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. And then Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 10. Isaiah 11, verse 6 through 10. Let's go to Isaiah 2, and let me show you what the Bible does describe, some of the description of this beautiful millennial reign, her kingdom reign. Isaiah gets a glimpse of it. Isaiah 2, please. Isaiah chapter 2, look there to verse number 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, and you can write in your margin, millennial reign, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. When the book of Revelation is finished, I should say that the seven-year great tribulation, we have experienced two mega, mega, mega earthquakes. The Bible says that all of the islands disappear and all the mountains are shaken down. The birds get air sick, the fish get seasick, and not one human structure survives, which would include the pyramids. That's how big those earthquakes are going to be. And it would seem that when God does that, a new Mount Everest will appear. Now, currently, when God flooded the entire planet, well, where did the water drain off to? The Psalm 110 tells us, Psalm 104. He lowers the current ocean basins and squishes the ridges together, the plates which thrust up the mountains, the Sierras, the Himalayas, whatever it might be. And then the current oceans have averaged to their current shorelines. God is going to redo the earth again. And he is going to re-average it in such a way that we're not going to have extreme mountains like Mount Everest. And that the highest mountain is going to be Mount Zion, where Jesus' millennial temple will be. The highest place on the planet is going to be Jerusalem. And all the nations shall flow to it. Verse 3. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God, of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, Jerusalem, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4. And he, Jesus, will judge between the nations and rebuke many people. He's going to be perfect in his administration. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. That is emblazoned near the United Nations. It's a wonderful and lofty sort of plateau to try to achieve, but it will never happen. Why? Because the humans keep messing it up. Even Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is the only way that there will be no wars anymore until Lucifer is let out. Here, next to verse 4, write Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 10. And let's turn there for a little more to the story. Isaiah chapter 11, look at verse number 6. Isaiah 11, look at verse number 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. As a rule, lambs are wolf food, not in the millennial reign. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, because calves are typically lion food, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. In other words, a little child is going to walk freely among heretofore vicious, voracious carnivores. What is going to change? The millennial reign is going to change everything, including the hunting sort of gene or aspect of the animals. So there's not going to be prey and predator anymore. Verse 7. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Their dentures are going to change, and they are going to be herbivores. Verse 8, a nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, because cobras today would be very dangerous, not in the millennial reign. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full, look at this, of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, right, Jesus, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Go ahead. Moses the tabernacle, and you had to sacrifice. Go. And then there was Solomon's temple. They built everything out of stone and gold and such, and that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Go. Then there's Herod's temple, magnificent structure, the one that Jesus had visited. It wasn't even done when Jesus was there. And then 38 years after he was crucified, here come the Romans, 70 AD, and they destroyed the whole thing. There's going to be another one. Go. In the book of Ezekiel, chapters 40 and following, Jesus' millennial reign temple is going to be magnificent. And the artist here is using literal descriptions. We studied that in our study of the book of Ezekiel, and it is massive, beautiful. Go. Here's kind of a breakdown of how it looked. Bottom right, there's football field. The tabernacle of Moses was that big. Solomon's temple was that big. Herod's temple was pretty good size. Look how massive Jesus' millennial reign temple is going to be. The Temple Mount, of course, wouldn't support it now because it's not big enough. But after all God is done with all the shaking, rattling, and rolling, there's going to be a wide plateau, it would appear, that will accommodate this massive structure beautifully. All right, now go ahead. When the lion and the lamb are sitting together. And there's more. Mike, we're going to go over these kind of quickly. So I want to show you more. To my knowledge, this is the most extensive collection of verses because I've been keeping them and adding to them over some 40 years of teaching the Bible. There's probably more, but I want you to notice some 40 references to explain how magnificent the 1,000-year millennial reign will be. Go ahead. Jesus is going to be living there in Jerusalem. And there's the verse. Planet is healed and restored. There's the verses. If you want to see more of this, we saw Isaiah 2, Isaiah 11, but check out Zechariah 14. And of course, Revelation 19 through 20 that we just read. Jerusalem is going to be the center of everything. Isaiah 66, center of all peace, like a river, comfort is going to be, as the Bible says, all the humans living will be as comfortable and as nurtured as like a baby at the breast. Gentiles are going to stream in to learn how to offer sacrifices. In the Old Testament, it was predictive of Jesus, all that innocent blood. And then in the millennial reign, it's going to be remembering back all this beautiful Eden-like condition in Jesus, what it cost for all the humans to live there in that beautiful millennial reign. People are going to be living for 1,000 years again, and anyone dying at 100 is tragedy, says Isaiah 6. Quick and perfect judgments for all lawbreakers. The law will come from me, from Jerusalem, Isaiah 51. Idol worshipers will be judged quickly. The court system will be greatly streamlined, and all evildoers will probably have one or two opportunities to turn it around and do it right. But if they don't, I believe I could make a case that in the millennial reign, there will be capital punishment. My hunch, every 100 years. Can't say for sure, but it might be. Number 5. Zion is going to be the highest mountain on earth. We just saw that. Go. No more wars. Swords into plowshares. Spears into pruning hooks. Animals aren't dangerous. We just saw. The Bible also says there's going to be a huge highway system from east to west. Why? Because people are getting to Jerusalem very easily. I've told you before, I believe that there won't be any oceans between continents. I believe part of that right earthquakes rattling and rolling is going to make one homogeneous one continent. What's Chris? What is that? Pangea. Thank you. When I said pen, I thought of bacon, and that took me right off the track. Bacon. Pangea is going to be restored. You don't have to cross an ocean any longer. And there's going to be an extensive highway system built, says Isaiah 19 and Isaiah 35. How believers lived God's word when they were here as humans will affect their millennial stations. Isaiah 24 and also Luke, remember? Him, well done, good servant. You will be in charge of 10 cities. Other five, another none. Number 10, the whole world is going to speak the same language. I'll bet you it's Hebrew. Zephaniah 3. Dimensions of the promised land are given in Joshua 1:4. It's not anywhere close to where it is today. When Jesus is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, Israel's borders will be the Nile River on the west and the Euphrates River on the east. Number 11, dimensions of the promised land. Well, we just read that. Number 12, all false teachers are quickly discovered and dealt with. Isaiah 30, Deuteronomy 13. Isaiah 16:5 says that Jesus in Jerusalem hastening judgment. Isaiah 65, the cursed die at 100. I wonder if there is a system of jurisprudence that when someone whose lies are found out quickly because of our new body believers who are watching, and justice is swift and true. Nobody who is going to get either incarcerated or perhaps even capital punishment, there's not going to be any innocence that will slip through. It'll be perfect, perfect, perfect. Isaiah 65, those who forsake the Lord, destined for the sword, are going to bow down before their executioner. I believe that there probably is going to be some form of capital punishment in the millennial reign. Psalm 149, verse 9, capital punishment in the millennial reign every 100 years. Deuteronomy 17, verse 12 says, he who will not heed the priest or the judge shall die, thus put away evil from Israel. Zechariah 13, verse 3, fathers and mothers will turn in their own false prophet children. Number 13, lots of light. The moon is like the sun, and the sun is 7 times brighter in the millennial reign. It's going to be, let your light shine, and it's going to shine. Isaiah 30, verse 25. Number 14, new-bodied believers, we have a job description. It's in Isaiah 32, verses 1 through 2. I'll go through it quickly. You are going to be a hiding place. In other words, you are going to be peace and protection for the humans that you are looking out for. You, new body believers, are going to be a cover, an example of relationship with God and covering over the humans. You will be as, you're going to be so much life to the humans. You're going to be like a river in a dry place, a fountain of God's word and truth. Habakkuk 2, and the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God like waters cover the sea. We just read that. Number D is we're going to be, new body believers in the millennial reign are going to be like a shadow of a great rock. In other words, lots of restoration and refreshing. Those people, humans in the millennial reign who are sort of on a bad track, you new bodied believers are going to be alongside, and you're going to save many from eternal separation from God. Verse 15, or number 15, the response of millennial humans is in Isaiah 32. Millennial humans are going to see, they're going to be good students all around them. Millennial humans are not going to be rash. The ungodly will not be heroes. So certain rock and roll legends and very slimy humans who some people think are all of that and a bag of chips, no longer. Ungodly will not be heroes. Number 16, no one is stealing fruit from another's plants, Isaiah 32. Everyone is sitting under their own vine anyway. Inviting neighbors over, says Zechariah 3. Number 17, fruits and vegetables grow wherever you plant them. If you have a hard time with being a green thumb here under the earth, you just wait till you see your millennial crops. Livestock grazes everywhere without fear, Isaiah 32. Peace is everywhere because righteousness is everywhere, Isaiah 32. No crime. Dignity and safety is everywhere, says Zechariah 8. All atmospheric precipitation, rain, and even hail, is gentle, not harmful, Isaiah 32. No more deserts. Perfect water distribution, says Isaiah 44. Israel will always remember how they strayed, Isaiah 33, and they're going to know why they were God's people and why, and will be in complete agreement with God that he allowed the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and even the Antichrist. Why? Because they were hard-hearted and stiff-necked with pride. Number 24, no physical infirmities. Woohoo! Isaiah 35, 5 through 7. Jesus' healing ministry when he was here was just a taste. Everyone is walking in the same direction, on the same page. Isaiah 35, how about this one? No depression. Joy is on their heads, says Isaiah 35. All creation is singing. That's the physical mountains and trees, emanating frequencies, says Isaiah 44 and 55. I believe we in our new bodies will hear those heavenly frequencies and songs. I believe with our heightened senses. Will the humans be able to hear them too? Don't know. When the Bible says, let all the fields clap their hands, that's not a sort of a quaint notion. It's actually going to happen. Number 28, human Jewish teachers will travel around the world, Isaiah 45. Israel, once the most hunted and persecuted, are now the most prosperous, Isaiah 54. Number 30, all the world will know that the temple in Jerusalem is God's house, Isaiah 56. And remember when the Egyptians paid the departing Jewish people? They repaid them for 400 years of stealing from them. Do you remember when Israel left under Moses, that they were given lots of gold and silver and stuff? And the Bible says that that was back payment for what was all stolen from them for 400 years of slavery. It's going to happen again. The Bible says that the Gentile wealth is going to flow into Jerusalem. Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61 and Haggai 2, Zechariah 14. All the world comes to Jerusalem to help build Jesus' temple. You just saw that. Number 31, the most famous, most influential humans will not be sports stars. They're going to be Jewish priests, Isaiah 61. Only truly born-again humans will begin the millennial reign, Ezekiel 20, and daily life in the millennial reign, if you want to see it, check it out, Ezekiel chapter 46. The Jubilee year is celebrated in the millennial reign, says Ezekiel 46, and the earth is filled with the knowledge of God, Isaiah 11, Habakkuk 1. Number 36, false prophets and teachers, rebellious teachers, will hide out, unfortunately, posing righteousness, says Zephaniah 13. And after the 1,000 years is done, God lets the demons out of the abuso. Lucifer sings his song, and he assembles another nation, says Isaiah 54, and of course, Revelation 20. And many, not a few, as the sands of the sea, are going to dump Jesus like a hot potato. And they're going to disregard his perfect Eden-like condition. And they're going to follow Lucifer. Do you see? Eve, in perfect, perfect Eden, bought Lucifer's lie. Full circle. Seventh dispensation is practically returning to Eden one more time. And still, many humans are going to say we prefer Lucifer over Jesus. And then that's going to set the table for number 39, the last battle on earth. Not much of a battle, actually, but they're going to all gather. Happens at the end of the thousand-year reign. Luciferous humans surround Jerusalem. We read that. And number 40, and finally, it is won by God's fire from heaven. Not much of a battle. They're going to rattle their swords, whatever weapons they have fashioned. They're going to beat those plowshares back to swords, etc., and spears. But they're not going to get a chance to use them because God blows the whistle. They are consumed with the great fire. Revelation 20, verse 9. And then that's judgment day. All right. So we asked at the beginning, you sure that the millennial reign is a literal 1,000 years? What's the resounding answer, you students? Yes. Number one, because he said it five times. In Revelation 20, it is a literal 1,000 years. And why is it? Because it is the seventh millennia. Six from Adam until the end of the church age. That's another reason why the book of Revelation has to be right around the corner. We've run through six millennia. The seven-year great tribulation is soon to come. And then when that is finished, the seventh and final millennia, which would say and mean 1,000 years. It's the seventh millennia, and here's most important. By the time it's completed, God has given man every opportunity to govern his affairs. How did the humans do? From the Hebrew word. Now all the angels, fallen ones too, and all the humans know that without righteousness, all the time, there is no peace. And there is only one way to be righteous. Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross, which defeated sin and death. And therefore, and that's why, God's judgment of separating the rebellious, an eternal separation has to happen. Chris, find the one where the two circles were of the dispensations. Can you see it, Harvest? Seven different covenants, seven different contracts with God and the humans. How did the humans do when they have had every opportunity to run their own lives and world? It cannot be done except for the Prince of Peace and the separation of fallen rebellious angels and fallen and rebellious and unrepentant humans. That's why he had to make this place called Outer Darkness, because where he lives, from the New Jerusalem forward, that is the only way that we all can live in light and love and family and purpose. And that is why Revelation 19, that's why every single human and fallen angel, even as they descend into outer darkness, no one, not even Lucifer, is going to say, I don't belong here. No, because the books were opened and everybody's heart and what they were thinking at the time is all laid bare. And everyone, including Lucifer, will say when they are descending into hell as the door closes, righteous and true are your judgments, O God. You are.